Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and joining me, as always, is my partner at Cheesehead TV, Mr. Corey Banky. I'm coming to you live from Cheesehead TV, New York. Corey joins us live across the street from Lambeau Field, and we are ready to talk some Packers. What do we have on tap today, Corey?
Today, we turn the page from beating the Bengals to taking on the Cardinals in the desert. But right now, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got
Josh Jacobs.
We got the bad. We got
the interior of the defensive line.
We got the ugly. We got
Jordan Love's interception. Don't love to see it, especially in the red zone, taking points off the board, opening drive of the game. But after that, he balled out. So good to see that he didn't repeat said interception style play and went on to absolutely annihilate the Bengals. Banky, how you doing?
Good. Last time I looked, Aaron Rodgers has one more interception than Jordan Love.
Oh boy.
Just saying.
Well, that's next week's conversation, sir. That we gotta focus on the Cardinals. Gotta go 1-0 every week, Corey.
That's what we That's fine. Do. As long as we keep winning, we keep the division. It's nice.
There you go. That's what I'm talking about. Yes, your first place Green Bay Packers sitting at 3-1-1. Feels pretty good. Feels good to be in first place. Backward.
I really have been resisting the urge to repost that Kay Adams video where she's like, a tie is a loss. And I'm like, excuse me, miss.
Pardon me, that has put us in first
Pardon
place
me,
now.
But... Yeah.
But you don't want to be a hyper nerd, so you've resisted the temptation. I'm impressed.
Yeah,
it's
well,
like you're growing.
No, I'm not growing. I'm actually retreating.
You're regressing
in front of your eyes.
Okay.
Yeah, I saw I couldn't help myself on Twitter. People were talking some trash, and then I literally said why I like a tie with the words right now, and somebody Bukowski'd me with some like well actually. And I'm like, do you see the words right now in my post? Yeah, words matter. Thank you.
Love it. Absolutely love it. The other thing
also,
I love is when
a
people...
Green Bay Gardner. Wait, we gotta mention that a Green Bay Gardner trading card is my flag for this sun that is beating down. Look at that. Oh yeah, look at that. That's nice. So yeah, a little dark Lambo, so you don't get the drug dealer, Corey.
Which was how we started the shot with Corey. Essentially just a dark outline. That was fun.
Whoever had an idea to put the shot of Lambo behind me, that was, he was genius. He was really smart. Oh, that was me. Oh, yeah.
That was you. It was indeed. To do the show at this time of day. I mean, we used to do this at night. Remember, we used to do this in prime time.
Yeah, night's nice. Night's easy to light.
It's lovely. But now we do it right when the sun is right over Lambeau Field. Until, aren't we getting in? I think Della pointed out, we're going to get into... daylight savings time soon, and then it'll be dark when we start. And it'll be fine.
Great. I'm looking forward to that.
I love the dark. I love the dark. The other thing I love is people coming out and trying some Carry the G, which they most certainly did on Saturday at Hagermeister Park. Want to give everybody a shout out who showed up. We had folks from legit all over the country and a few spots across the globe. So many folks telling about how they became Packers fans, how they found Cheesehead TV, and I got to tell you, Corey, each and every time we do this, I'm a little bit blown away at how far the reach is and how long. Well, there was a guy there on Saturday, and I'm very sorry I can't remember his name off the top of my head, who has been watching us since we were doing this in 2007.
I don't believe him.
He referenced like the hat. Remember, I always used to wear the sport coat and
the newsy hat.
Newsboy hat. Yep. Yeah. No, he's
I don't believe anybody until they show me screenshots of them watching.
Watching it
like
so just really nice to have folks
because there were 30
the
people
beer.
That's why I don't believe anybody, by the way.
Yeah,
because you're one of like 30 people, you know what I mean?
Well, apparently those had to be somebody outside of like my dad,
yeah,
or your family that were watching.
I don't think my family was watching. They really didn't like me at that moment, so
No, that's fair. That's
so
fair.
Maybe.
But it was great. And I want to give Corey at Hagemeister a shout out. He was very generous with his time and space, and really appreciated him allowing us to hang out and drink some Carry the G and talk Packers with everybody. It was a lot of fun.
It was fun. It was definitely
fun. Very good time. Very good time. Also want to give a shout out to our friends over at Nicolay Law. This episode of Packer Transplants is sponsored by Nicolay Law. You never plan on needing a lawyer, but if you're ever in a car crash, suffer a slip and fall, or are injured in another kind of accident, you want someone in your corner who gets it. Nicolay Law helps people across the Midwest, Wisconsin, Minnesota, North Dakota, and Iowa, and they fight hard for regular folks, not big corporations, not insurance companies, just you. Calling a lawyer can feel intimidating, but Nicolay Law makes it simple. Their team takes on the stress, deals with the insurance companies, and fights for the compensation you deserve, so you can focus on getting your life back. Injured? Don't wait. Call 1-855-NICOLAY or visit nicolaylaw.com to get started. Oh, yeah, and we're going to get started. You know how we get started, Corey. When we get started here at Transplants with the hotness. Let's hit it. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, Corey, if I told you, or if I asked you, say, let's frame it this way, who has the best third down offense in the NFL currently? What would you say?
Green Bay Packers.
That is correct, sir. A little over 50% as far as converting on third downs. Now, obviously, a big part of that is Jordan Love. Well, there's a lot going on around him as well. But, man, this team is producing conversions on third down at a historic clip through these first six games. And it's very exciting to watch. None more exciting than this third down conversion late in the game against the Bengals. Jordan Love is great here. Let's take a look. The way he senses that the line has slid, so he gets outside the pocket. Look, guy in his face throws it to Matthew Golden perfectly in stride for a big first down, which essentially mostly salted that game away. That is just outstanding stuff, and it happens again and again and again, and he's not just doing it with his arm. His legs being back in play has certainly made a difference. Corey, we talked about this on Watch Party. It's very apparent. He knows. He is very aware that those escape lanes, those rush lanes, if they are available to him, he's going to take off. And if you're playing man coverage, that means your back is to the quarterback. He's going to take advantage of that. And it's been exciting to see. He did get in trouble on the interception. Just run it out of bounds, young man. But for the most part, he has been lights out in this regard.
Yeah, it looks like he's got his short and his dump-off game going. It looks Might like well. Coach and him finally figured out, like, hey, if they're blitzing us, we can run. And you can run, Jordan, and I can throw it to Josh Jacobs for 8 yards.
Right, exactly. Stay ahead of those sticks. Love it. All right, time to eat our vegetables with some Packers news. We got Devontae Wyatt still not practicing, though LaFleur did indicate he is trending in the right direction. Maybe he gets out there soon, but not practicing today, along with one Zach Tom, who is also not practicing after getting through the Bengals game, but apparently really in a lot of pain with that oblique injury in the second half, to the point where he told Bill Huber he didn't even remember most of the second half because he was playing in such pain. So we'll see. I doubt we see him on the practice field much this week, though I suspect he'll have to get out there at least for one practice if they're going to want him to play. But that's something to monitor clearly over the week. And then, you know, obviously at tackle, if he's unable to go, they've had Kennard go in there, but maybe one Anthony Belton might be up for the call because he has returned to practice. Which would be good timing, would be nice, getting a little healthier up front, the rookie back in the mix. And then, Corey, in what I'm sure you are all broken up about, we got kicker news. The Packers have released their international pathway player, the kicker, Mark McManey.
I saw that. Does the international pathway player, do they get a special spot?
Yes, it is a...
it's like 53 plus
count,
one?
Plus one. It doesn't count to the 53.
Exactly. So why release that guy?
Well, because they signed the other guy who was lights out. And if you're into a situation where, as you know, we were walking into this game with McManus dealing with an injury, and you go work guys out and you sign a guy, which they did, and he goes out there and performs perfectly. Well, if you're not confident enough in your, you know, developmental player, why keep him around
at this point? I guess, but he doesn't cost you anything.
He doesn't. But you also, you're also giving him reps at some point.
What's annoying, but what's annoying about this whole situation is
we're talking about kickers.
Yes. Well, that's always annoying. But what's even more annoying is that our backup kicker and our primary kicker, now there's two guys taking up a spot. I don't like it. I don't like it one bit.
Just for now, while McManus is getting back from injury.
Yeah. But you know what? You know what that means? You know how shitty special teams is?
Yeah.
Just got a whole lot shittier, one less guy. One less guy to rely on being shitty.
I think that works in the reverse, though, because you released a guy who hasn't contributed, and you brought in a guy who really stepped up and contributed and was really good.
Right, but you're thinking of it a little too simply. I'm thinking of it more complexly, meaning you released a guy that didn't cost you anything on your 53. Mm-hmm. You took a guy, and now you have to release another guy or not bring up a guy in order to have two kickers on your 53.
Right. You're worried about
what I'm saying is there is a 53rd man. McManus
who could contribute to special teams.
Arvasek is 52, and then the punter's 51. So number 50 man. Well, that's probably the long snapper. So number 49 man.
Sure.
Number 49 man.
Right.
There's an odd man out, right? There's a guy who might be a good tackler or might be good at special teams, might be a hands guy. You don't know.
Except
and he's not getting his reps.
You might be onto something there, except that they still, I believe, still have an open spot on their roster. So I'm not entirely sure the math is mathing for you there.
But technically, you have two kickers where you should have one.
Right.
Right, you have to keep McManus on the roster, right?
Yes.
This I know we're in the
3-year deal, of course.
We're in the weeds here, right? But you have to keep him on 53. There's no place you can stick him right now.
No. Well, you could put him on IR. You could put him on IR and have him down for 4 weeks.
6 games, right? Yeah, 4 to 6 games. 4 weeks, right? Yeah. Okay, but you're probably going to get him back in 2 weeks. This is what I'm saying. Like, either way, and have we even gotten to the bottom of this whole McManus controversy? Like, why? How did he get injured? Was he playing golf? What was happening? What happened? Does anybody know?
We haven't had a deep dive report from the beat yet. I'm sure they're on it.
Like, if it was like a real player and not a kicker, like there would be a lot of like, okay, well, how did he bust his quad? How did he get it? Things I've seen are, oh, well, he didn't get hurt in practice, but then how did he get hurt? And also,
but
like,
wait, I thought he was the hurt kicker. In practice. Wasn't he hurt in practice?
How did he get hurt kicking?
Well, yeah. Playing, yeah. That's playing his position.
He doesn't play. He kicks balls. All he does is kick balls all day.
That's how he plays. That's how he plays. That's his job.
But how did he get hurt? How do you get hurt kicking?
You pull something. You pull a muscle.
Can someone explain this to me, please?
This happens,
someone who's competent. Somebody explain this to me. I don't understand. Why? Okay, everybody, you know what? Everybody bitches about Brian. Everybody bitches about Brian, and they're like, oh, he can't pick in the third round. He can't pick in the third round. He can't pick in the second round. You know what?
Right.
You know what my biggest beef with Brian is? Uh-huh. Can we just fucking get, like, what? Like, Ted gave us a guy who was around for, like, 15 years. Like, what are we doing here? What are we doing?
Well, they tried. They tried going that avenue. They tried finding a guy who would be there for 15 years. But none of them could make a kick.
That was their problem. Well,
Mason Crosby was drafted.
Yeah, I don't like Mason Crosby.
That's okay. That works. Whatever.
If you look at any kicker who's around for 15 years is the ultimate leading scorer. Mm-hmm. The sun is really annoying me right now. Mm-hmm. I'm just annoyed. I'm crabby right now. I don't know why
you
I'm
are.
So crabby.
I
you know what?
You.
I think I'm crabby because of Twitter, because I'm not crabby because of the Packers. I'm crabby because of Twitter. But just the fact that we're talking about a kicker is really annoying.
It. So let's move on. Let's get to the offense, shall we? Let's talk about some football just for you. Okay. Josh Jacobs carries the load even when he's ill. I love that he told the beat afterwards that he was throwing up before the game, during the game, and after the game. And this is a game where he went for like 100 some and two touchdowns. So Jacobs was awesome on Sunday. I love when he gets going. To your point, Corey, we talked about on Watch Party, they remembered, hey, run dudes deep and then just throw it to Jacobs underneath and let him get ahead of steam and pick up easy yards, man. And I don't know, if did you see the mic'd up? I didn't put it in Blogosphere because I put in something else, but did you see
the
mic'd
up with
Josh Jacobs?
Yeah, where he starts laughing.
Everybody
thinks he's psychotic. And you know what I think it is?
He's in the bottom of the pile and he's just laughing.
I love it. I love it.
It's so good.
I think it's him expelling air. I think it's really smart because he's like exhaling, you know, he's exhaling while he's
after like being tense
stuff.
To take the hit.
Yeah. It's
stuff.
Like you're tense right. And it's a way to kind of like loosen up your body. I feel like it's actually a technique. I know a lot of people on Twitter were being like, oh, he's psychotic. I'm like, if you're having that much fun playing a game and you're exhaling air, I think that's good.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. It was hilarious. I watched it a bunch of times.
It's so good. And he was so productive. And look, it was nice to see the ground game get on track. Now, the one asterisk, and all the Eeyores out there pointed this out immediately after the game, because that's what they do. The Bengals have a terrible run defense. That is all true and very much part of the equation here. But man, getting him going, getting him to become, a focal point of the offense, not just in the run game, but also in the passing game, that was exciting to see. That's the Green Bay Packers offense we've come to know and love since Jacobs has been in town. So excited to see more of that Sunday in Arizona.
I mean, truth be told, there's only like, I'm going to see if I can block this sun better. I'm a vampire. I don't think that was better.
I don't think you did much there, but it was a valiant effort because it's getting lower. It's getting out. It's fighting.
Well,
your,
I was trying to see if
Green
I can
Bay Gardner card. Flag.
Yeah, my Green Bay Cardinal card is the flag right now. It's nice. I'm trying to see if I can block. It's like hitting my face. I'm going to become a drug dealer very soon because I'm going to be completely silhouetted. I'm going to take it down again.
Lovely.
Oh, dear. Don't hit Packer Man, though. Stop.
Right in the head.
Packer Man's like, what did I do?
Sitting here. I'm just hanging out. You know who else got more and more involved in that game is Matthew Golden. Corey, I know we've talked about it a lot. I know everyone is like adamant that he needs more touches or more opportunities or whatever. I love how he just continues to shine. He continues to grow. He continues to be a important part of the offense, more and more so each and every week, seemingly. And clearly he's on the same page with Jordan Love. Even when things aren't quite as they drew him up, the way they have been on the same page, even when things are off schedule, that's exciting stuff. And we're just scratching the surface when it comes to not just that connection, but just Golden as a player. Exciting times. And now, man, we're on the precipice of getting Christian Watson back, potentially. Come on now. Those two on the field together is going to be a lot of fun. Can't wait. And finally, Jordan Morgan steps in at right guard, and lo and behold, we got a bit of a running game. They were making hay with Morgan and Tom on that right side there. We had a number of really nice gains from Jacobs off the right side, and I thought he held up well in pass pro, too. Interesting that they didn't go strictly Jordan Morgan the entire game. I think Sean Ryan played 12 snaps, but clearly that coming out of the bye week, they determined, and we talked about this last week, you know, Ryan's had a real rough start to the year, and they needed to kind of help solidify that side. I thought Morgan did well. It wasn't perfect. Nothing is, but really good start there. I suspect we're going to see that going forward, of course, unless there are injuries other places, and then you never know. But I thought Jordan did a really good job that first kind of extensive starting slash, you know, playing time at right guard. And I thought he held up really well. And here's hoping we get more of that down in Arizona.
Sean Ryan playing 15 snaps feels like a lot. It feels like too many.
It was like 12. I think it was 12. It was around there.
That's too many. One snap, I feel like, is too many.
Yeah, I feel you. But you know,
also,
staff,
I love
you
how
know they
Eeyores,
like to rotate these guys. That's what they do.
I love how anybody who says that, like, oh, they didn't have a good run defense. The only, like, there's only like three teams that have a good run defense, by the way. We're one of them.
A handful of them. Boom, 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 yeah, the Packers defense, which we'll get to now, only allowed 55 yards on the ground, but they were consequential yardage, which we will talk about in a second. But first and foremost, Corey, there is no bigger headline, emphasis, whatever you want to talk about. The defense, you could talk about the end of the game, the fourth quarter stuff, giving up points in the second half. All that is true, and all of that is an issue and stuff they can work on and get better at. But there is one thing that is more prevalent than anything else when it comes to the defensive side of the football, and that is how they are desperate for a turnover. They need a turnover in the worst way. These games that are either ending up in ties, as we saw a couple weeks ago, or even this game against the Bengals, which the Packers were in control of, but they could have easily turned this into a rout if they just get a turnover. You watch these other games, teams are getting one, two, even three turnovers. Packers can't buy a turnover at the moment, whether that's an interception or a forced fumble, getting after the quarterback, for a strip sack fumble, whatever. However it's got to happen, they got to make it happen, man, because they can't keep living like this. They've got two turnovers on the year, and one of them they probably should have turned down. Xavier McKinney on the arm punt from Joe Flacco at the end of the half in Cleveland should have knocked that to the ground.
Yeah.
So they have, like, legit one meaningful turnover that helped turn the tide of the game. And that was at the end of the first half against the Lions.
The Bears won a game off of a botched handoff, so.
There you go.
Teams be getting lucky around here.
And that's the hope, right, that turnovers come, they come in bunches. Hopefully they get an interception, a forced fumble, some kind of mistake by the offense. Because these teams that have paper cut the Packers defense to death, like you look at the Bengals, one of the things they did really well is fall forward and or make yards after contact. And man, yeah. Yards after contact is killing the Packers defense. Like, if it's first and 10 and you hand it off and you hit the guy after 2 yards, that's a win for the defense. But the moment he keeps his legs grinding and or falls forward for even 2 more yards, it automatically becomes a win for the offense, because now they've won. 4 yards on first down is a win. You're staying ahead of the sticks. They have got to do a much better job of, when they make initial contact, get the guy on the ground or at least stop his momentum, because right now, both the Cowboys and the Bengals lived on this. They hit the initial contact from a linebacker, safety, whatever, and then keep their legs moving, driving, and pick up one, two, even 3 yards. Makes such a big difference in how teams want to play the Packers defense. The Packers have done a phenomenal job of limiting explosive plays, which is where points come from, right? That's what usually leads to points. And that's why you saw a drive like the Bengals had out of the halftime, where they take up 10 minutes, you 17 plays, two fourth down conversions, because they kept being able to stay ahead of the sticks, stay on schedule. Because even when the Packers were able to hit them initially, right, on a kind of a 3 yard kind of dig play or whatever, they kept falling forward for a couple extra yards, and then that kept them in control on offense. Like, obviously, turnovers are A, number one, but B, you cannot allow teams to go on these long, time-consuming drives, which is exactly what Dallas did, and then Cincinnati did it that one particular drive, where you just, yes, you would love a fumble, you'd love an interception, but if that doesn't happen, do the bare minimum and stop the fucking ball carrier. They start doing that and start making these kind of third and threes turn into third and fives or sixes, you'll see a couple turnovers. That will dictate how the Packers play them and where the ball has to go, and their ability to get after the football will change instantly.
I mean, I know it won't. I know it doesn't affect turnovers, but I mean, how many, that whole drive you just described, literally Micah Parsons was held 4 times. Seriously.
I mean, that's
an issue. He's literally got a guy with his hand in his face mask. Like 3 times in that game, he had I know they don't have the 5 yard face mask anymore, but at least then, like, this is crazy. This is crazy. Yeah. Like, what's the point of football if you're not going to call it?
Well, what's the point? I talked about this a little bit with Andy on Let's Talk Football on Monday, because to your point, Corey, that's exactly right. If they call it just one time,
that
changes the whole tenor of the drive, because they go from a 2nd and 5 to a 1st and 20. That's an insane difference, right? And the fact that it never, ever gets called is wild to me. I mean, I think it's been since the Commanders game, since they got a holding call against Parsons, which we've seen ample evidence of him getting choked out, face mask grab, whatever, and nothing ever gets called. That's wild to me. And I wonder if it's like he plays too fast and the refs can't see it, or if they do, they're like, what am I supposed to do? Throw a flag on every play? I don't know.
I mean, the egregious ones, they were pretty egregious ones. I also think it's kind of weird because it does feel like the first few games he got the calls and then all of a sudden he's not getting calls now. And it's like, was that like a dictate from the NFL officiating? Like, we can't have this. It's too much holding.
Right. But it's like you said, Corey, it's blindingly obvious. That's what's so frustrating. Well, like, I get it. Like, Matt, because I asked LaFleur about this on Monday in the press conference, you know, do you need to send something to the league? Do you need to send a highlight reel or whatever? And, you know, Matt was very measured. I tried to give him an opportunity. I tried to tee him up and let him kind of go after it. Right. But, you know, he's very magnanimous and said, you know, well, we get away with stuff too and whatever. But, man, I haven't seen the Packers offensive line ripping guys' heads off and not getting called. You know what I mean? I remember watching.
Also, you know what?
Anthony Belton doesn't want to get called for doing something like that. Yeah, no.
He just doesn't want to get that fine. Yeah, he doesn't want to get that hundo. He don't want to get that $100,000 fine for talking shit about the Zebras.
Get that FedEx envelope. Yeah, nobody wants to see that coming. No doubt. Man, you're just in the haze, dude. Like you.
I don't even know. I'm just going to put my head right here. If I block the sun and I go right here, then I'm fine.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, I'm just going to stay here.
I'll slide forward too, so we're in unison. There we go. Wait. There we go. See, it's a headspace like similar.
I'm just going to stand. I'm blocking the sun.
There you go. Well done.
If I rant, I'll lose my head though.
I don't want to do all complaining all the time on defense. So I do want to give a shout out to Warren Brinson, who had a really good game. The rookie made the most of his opportunities, and I do wonder, I hope, I would suspect he's earned himself more opportunities. I think, especially with Devontae Wyatt continuing to not practice and be out of the, most likely out of Sunday's game down in Arizona, I think you're going to see more Warren Brinson, and that will be a welcome sight because he had a really good game at a position where, you know, the Packers weren't phenomenal through the interior of that line. So we'll see. Hopefully we see more of the rookie. And speaking of that game down in Arizona, make sure you're checking out the Cheesehead TV Nation newsletter. Each and every week goes out on Thursday morning. Our diehard members, if you want to subscribe to the diehard edition, it's only $5 a month. You get a preview video that Andy Herman and I do each and every week. That goes out tomorrow morning, along with tons of different Cheesehead TV Packers content every Thursday. And then the morning after every game. So two during the season, one a week during the offseason. Cheesehead TV, Packers content in your inbox. Check it out. There's a link in the description of this video for you to do so.
Della had me raise my chair, and now I look like an angel. Look, the head's coming out of my head.
Look at Della solving problems. I absolutely love it. All right, you ready to get to it? Let's get to it. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
That's right, it's this week in the Packer Blogosphere, the return of that venerable series, brought to you by Luigi's Original Pizza. Bring back the best memories of game day and pizza with one of the great Wisconsin originals. Luigi's is crispy, thin, and packed with the unforgettable flavors you know and love. Made right there in Wisconsin since 1968, bring back the memories and savor the taste of game day. Find Luigi's Original in the freezer aisle at your local grocer. Luigi's Pizza. Taste the tradition. Almost made it.
Sounds
Corey.
Like
Almost
you
did
needed
it.
Some lip mobility.
Lip mobility. There. Lips the teeth.
Before
the
tongue, show.
Tip of the tongue. Taste the tradition. That's a tough one. It's a tough
taste
one for
the
your
tradition.
Boy.
Oh, here you go. Here's the sun for you, people. Let's see if I can go higher.
Oh man.
I don't even know.
You
what's going
are
on
just
anymore.
Fighting the sun. Now we've got the card and the shot now. Like we're all over the map.
Oh, we got a card in the shot?
Yes, it's in the shot.
Yeah, well then it just opens up more sun. It's funny.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. All right, first up in Blogosphere. If you haven't, we're not gonna show any of the footage here because we don't wanna like take anybody's stuff and get in trouble. But make sure you check out Jaden Reed's The Get Back over on his YouTube channel. really cool stuff behind the scenes from everything he's done with surgeries and rehab and getting back into kind of the swing of things there at Lambeau. And Corey, you'll love this. There's a bit. I don't know if you got to see it yet, but he went down to the farmer's market downtown Green Bay.
Nice. Yeah, I did see that.
Just hanging out. Those good times, man. Good stuff. Make sure you check that out. It's on his YouTube channel. Really, really encourage everyone to check it out. As well as Dusty Evely, former Cheesehead TV writer, contributor, current Acme Packing Company contributor, writer, and he also does a ton of great film breakdown stuff on his own YouTube channel. His Packers Data website, Substack? I don't even know what you would call it, but man, it is so cool. He has got tons of Packers-specific stuff as far as, you know, what formations they're using on certain downs, how much they gain on certain downs, what types of personnel they're using. Like, it has anything and everything. Look at that, shotgun rate by week. Like, Corey, how many times on Watch Party are we talking about, oh, they're in the shotgun, oh, they're under center? Well, now you can know exactly how many times they're doing everything. Nice. I can't recommend it enough. It is a labor of love for Dusty. He does it. It's out there each and every week for free. Make sure you check it out. Really, really cool. Finally, I'm not going to show all of this, but I had to show this little first clip, Corey, because we mentioned earlier Josh Jacobs being mic'd up, but Elgton Jenkins was mic'd up for this game. And this first bit that the Packers cobbled together is outstanding. Let's take a look.
Get the crowd pulled up, bro.
I'm going there. You got to do it.
Huh? Stand up on the bench. Get the boy going.
You got to do it.
Running on the field. Go,
I am.
Go stand on the Chiefs. Get the boy going.
I am king. Yeah. Go there like this.
Okay, I desperately need Elgton Jenkins to run out to the G at the start of the next game at Lambeau and get the crowd pumped up. I absolutely love that.
That'd
exchange.
Be great.
It was so good. Run out to the G. Get up on the bench. So good.
I mean, if Jordan Love got on the bench and like raised his helmet, the crowd would go wild.
So good. So wild. Good. I love wild. It. I'm formally requesting that Elgton get out in the middle of the G next game. Pump up the crowd. I'm all in. I love it. Okay, let's get to some comments, questions. YouTube, what's going on?
Oh, yeah.
It's the word, Thunderbird.
Chris KG19. Yo, who told the glam band they could rock that fucking hard at Stadium View Sunday night? Holy crap, man. What a performance. Best cover band I've seen.
Glam band. Okay. Didn't see it. Didn't hear about it, but that sounds amazing. Come on, Stadium View.
Stadium Views. They got so many people. They got the money to get good bands. So
yeah, no doubt.
I mean, they should be good. Like, and you're like,
right?
Yeah, like, what are you doing? You literally have 1,000 people going to your bar, maybe 10,000. I don't even know. Jeff Kolb had an amazing time at the Bengals game. I took my 3 sons for their first game at Lambeau, just like my dad took me. It's how memories are made. Met you guys on Saturday and talked Star Wars. Thanks, Jeff for the super chat. Thanks for coming out.
Jeff, it was great to meet you, man. Great to see you and your son. It was a lot of fun, man.
Jerry Mannion, any truth to the Gary trade rumors? Oh, yeah, and the they're not just Gary trade rumors. What's the other one?
And the wide receivers Dobbs. And the whole thing. Yeah, blah, blah, blah.
Dobby lobby.
I have little doubt teams will be calling. You will be able to knock me over with a feather if any of that happens. Especially, I mean, Lucas Van Ness is still hurt. He ain't practicing. You know, they're going to trade away Gary while Van Ness is down.
That makes no sense.
No.
It makes no sense for Dobbs it. Because you see a team giving a number one for Dobbs.
It seems like
unless
we have to talk about this
giving
every
us a number one, I don't think Brian's going to go for anything less than a number one.
It seems like we talk about this every few weeks because, first of all, Dobbs is really super reliable, probably the most reliable receiver in their stead. And he and Jordan have a great connection. And to your point, Corey, I can't see a team giving them a draft pick in compensation that is going to be competitive with what they'll probably get anyway if he's allowed to walk as a free agent and they get a comp pick. So, yeah, is there truth to the Gary thing? I'm sure teams will call or are calling, but I would be absolutely shocked if the Packers made a move. You know, the Packers want to win the Super Bowl. You don't win a Super Bowl by getting rid of good players.
Bob Parteka. Packers win by two scores. We're doomed. Fire everybody. Brewers lose two straight. Chin up. We still got a chance. We fans are the worst. LOL. I mean, I'm surprised Nagler didn't have anything about the Brewers because, okay. Now, I grew up in Los Angeles until I was 12, and I was a Dodgers fan. But the Dodgers and the Yankees spend more than anybody else in MLB. I'm going to go to Packer Transplants. I had to look this up, by the way. I think it's episode 10, and we argued about MLB salary cap versus NFL salary cap. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. And the Brewers hit a wall last night. I watched that game. I know everybody watched it. They hit a wall. And that wall, guys, is not their fault. That wall is the fucking revenue share and salary cap that does not exist in the Major League Baseball. And that's what happens to almost every team like the Brewers is they get into the playoffs at some point and they hit a fucking wall. And that wall is another team spending. How much do they spend on Yamamoto? Probably their entire freaking, like, the entire salary of the Brewers was spent on Yamamoto and Ohtani.
The first game, what was it? Blake Snell's salary is higher than
Blake
the entire
Snell, eight
playoff
game, yeah.
pitching staff.
Yamamoto playing a complete game. And I love
and
this.
The Yamamoto thing is interesting, too, because they also had to buy out his contract to the Japanese League. So it's on top of whatever they're paying him for his Major League Baseball contract,
which is probably
they also
more
paid to get him out of his Japanese contract.
Yeah, which is literally hundreds of millions of dollars. Like, just a crazy amount of money that, like, nobody but the New York Yankees and the Los Angeles
Dodgers
can spend.
Like, people are saying, the Dodgers literally have a whole cable media conglomerate / system in South America producing content and broadcasting their games that drives revenue into the Dodgers' coffers. Like, that's just one example of something that they have that a team like Milwaukee certainly doesn't.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, it goes back to why the NFL works, because people like Jerry Jones can't just make all the money and take all the money, and then it goes back into the sport. It's just like, and I'm not trying to bitch about the Brewers. The Brewers are trying their hardest, but, like, you just saw it last night. Like, they deserve to be there, but there's just there's gorillas, and they're playing, you know what I mean? Like, they're just playing against, like, teams that just, they're in different leagues. Like the Dodgers and the Yankees. And now everybody's like, well, they get beat sometimes. Yeah, but all you're doing is you hope for that. Like, no wonder. No wonder the Rebels have no chance against the Empire. Like, come on, man.
We just need to find Luke and get on, train him in the Force. We'll be all right.
Like, Ohtani is so much. I love like Ohtani. I love the whole thing.
Ohtani.
I love watching
him. I love
him.
Ohtani.
The fact that this guy is the designated hitter no matter what, and he's not, and he pitches. I mean, it's just incredible.
And he's going to pitch in a couple games. What was wild to me, because I was there for the first game, and Ohtani came up. He's a leadoff, right? And he comes off, and the whole place starts booing. Like, what? I mean, did he say something disparaging about Milwaukee that I'm unaware of? Because if not, like, dude, why are you booing Ohtani? We're blessed as humans to get to watch this guy play baseball in our lifetime. Like, 100%. I was so happy I got to see
incredible.
Him live.
It's incredible. It's incredible. And he's an incredible player. And the fact that they got the one guy got the strikeout on him. And I was like, oh my God, how did that guy, I can't remember his name, but he literally gets the strikeout. And then two guys later. Yeah. I think
Freeman's the one who hit the homer. Yeah.
And then two guys later, they're like, yeah, pull him. But Yamamoto's game last night, oh my God, that was an incredible performance by him. And it just goes to show, everybody was like, oh, we beat the Dodgers. Like, the Dodgers weren't playing for real in the regular season. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? It's like the preseason for the Dodgers. Come on. All they got to do is get to the playoffs.
You're not wrong, Corey. That's the issue.
That's the thing. The thing is, like, what really pains me the most about MLB is that we all put up with this nonsense.
Yeah.
Like, we all have hope against this nonsense.
It ain't ever going
to
change, man.
It's not going to change. And it's so funny
because
the players
will never, now the cat's been out of the bag forever, and they're never, ever, ever going to allow salary cap.
Well, there's people, I've seen podcasts about the NFL where people are like, yeah, the NFL owners, they got it made because of the salary cap. And it's like, you realize the NFL isn't the premier sport only because of the type of sport it is, okay?
Right.
It is the fact that that the NFL has tried to drive parity throughout the league. That is definitely, it's the revenue sharing and the parity throughout the league on the salary cap, 100%. And like the fact that people can't see this, and you can't, like the fact that like every Brewers fan and every person who loves baseball who's seen this, this whole pitch count, like turn around the game of baseball, the fact that you can just be like, oh, the Brewers, and not be like, oh my God, this system is rigged to fail. Like, it is just trash, and we're just all putting money into this thing for really no, like, there's no, there. The Brewers, what is it, since 1943? What is it? What is the, there's a stat. It's 43 years since they won a, like a championship.
Well, they've never been in the World Series. They've never won a World Series. Sorry, they've been in the World Series. Never won a World Series.
I saw something where I looked online. It wasn't the World Series, but it was like, it's been 43 years since something. And it's just like, it's so sad. It's just sad. It's just sad. It's just like, what's the point? It just feels like so crass. Like, we already live in this commercial world and all this stuff. And it's like, there's just no chance for any team like the Brewers. There just isn't. And now watch, they'll turn it around and beat
the Dodgers. They'll turn it around. They're going to go
win
four in a row.
I hope that happens too, by the way. I hope everyone uses, I hope, also, I am so sick of Yelich. That guy is he, whatever the fuck his name is, trashing. He is fucking terrible. The fact that he cannot produce any fucking offense when it matters, it's ridiculous. I'm sick of watching that guy at fucking bat and being like, oh yeah, that's their superstar. How is this guy a superstar? He's only a superstar in the regular season, and he fucking sucks whenever he has to fucking do anything. Oh, I can't stand that guy.
Brewers Transplants Live with Corey Fucking.
Every time you're like, oh, it's Christian Yelich. Yeah. He's going to do something. No, he's not going to do something, you guys. He's not going to do anything but strike out.
Corey, I would get after you about this a little bit, but I can't because you're not wrong. It's hard. It's been hard to watch. It's been hard to watch, not just in the postseason, but kind of down the stretch of the season into the postseason, because he has been ineffective as this. As kind as I can put it.
It's like, that's the one guy you're supposed to be able to rely on to do something. And the other thing is the way the Dodgers were getting points, like, it was just fucking, it was a clinic. They were just the way that they were doing things just to get the 5 points that they got. It was incredible. Mm-hmm. And the fact that the Brewers couldn't even get like two more points. It's like, just get 1 point, bro.
In baseball, they're called runs, sir. Runs.
I don't give a shit. I don't care. The only reason why I watched that game was because the pitch count has changed the game of baseball. Mm-hmm. Because I turned to who I was watching the game with last night. I was at Lodge Kohler. I was at a Tavern in the Sky, shout out, across looking at Lambeau while I was watching the Brewers, because I thought it was kind of fitting. And I think I lost my train of thought. I was like, I can't remember. Oh, yeah. I was like, there were like Yamamoto struck out like two guys. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, that would have taken 30 minutes, like, 2 years
for the Brewers to do it. Well, dude, when I was at the game on – oh, God. Snell was almost as bad. I was at the game on Monday night, and, yeah, the Brewers pitchers were throwing, like, 30 pitches to get, like, one guy. And then, like, Snell gets up there, and they're out in 2-3 pitches each. Like, the Brewers were hardly ever at bat, like, in real time.
They weren't.
It was hard to watch. Although, I was really glad I was there for that 8-6-2 double play. First time that's ever happened in Major League Baseball history. That play was insanity.
I had to actually watch it, and I had to look up the rules. I was like, I didn't understand. I was talking to some people, and I was like, I just didn't understand. If it hits the top of that thing, it's a hit.
That means it's not a catch. Yep.
Is it only if it goes over the line?
No, the line's
not
important.
Or is it just touches
the
wall at all? Because there's a little yellow line, and I thought maybe it's because it does that. I had no idea. It was funny because homeboy, they interviewed the outfielder guy who said, what the fuck just happened?
Freelick.
I saw that. I saw that interview, and he was like, I didn't realize that it hit the wall and I didn't catch it. That play was amazing.
That was incredible.
It's incredible. But it's also like the classic thing about baseball, where baseball is still one of those sports where even the refs don't know the rule book sometimes.
Although I will say,
the refs knew the rule book, but I'm just saying.
They did, exactly.
Every year, some play happens where a ref doesn't actually know the rule book. Is what I'm
but
saying.
I will say, John Boy did a phenomenal breakdown of that play, and he pointed out that the official in the outfield was like, hit the wall.
Everybody goes off him. Which is really smart. Yeah, no, they definitely did their job in that game. But yeah, I want them to come back so badly, but I think they're saying Ohtani in the fourth game, and that's just going to be like, bye. Goodbye. Bye-bye.
Game. It's not going to be fun.
Hi. You know, but it's so great that they celebrate with champagne just so we can fucking play the Dodgers and get our asses.
There it is. I so can't believe it took that long for you to get to that.
I'm so happy that we're so great. You're so fucking great, Brewers, that you have champagne and, you know, and everything's great, and then we can't even beat the fucking Dodgers.
Corey, they
we
beat
can't
the Cubs. That's champagne worthy. I don't give a fuck. You beat the Cubs, you get champagne. That's my world. I'm in on it. Yes. I like it.
I guess. Can you imagine if the Packers beat the Bears and they had a champagne shower? That would be annoying. Curly Lambeau would roll
this
over
year,
in his grave.
When we beat the Bears, when the Packers beat the Bears, I'm having a champagne shower.
You're not putting on the goggles and being in like a little
100% thing. Putting on the goggles, going in the bathroom over here, and I'm having Sarah like film me with my champagne shower. It's happening. I'm doing it. Beating the Bears. Let's go.
Lord. Brett Spangler, why did so many fans decide LaFleur is on the hot seat this year? Did I miss something? I feel like I'm going crazy.
Brett, I'm not allowed to talk about this because Matt LaFleur has had a beverage in my vicinity, and that means I'm a shill.
I think I know where this is coming from. I think
the fire LaFleur bullshit? I don't know. I have no idea
I think I know where it's coming from. I think it's coming from the remnants of the Aaron Rodgers fans that still can't let go, because I feel like it's the same people that want to say Jordan Love isn't a good quarterback. It tends to be. But yeah, I actually tweeted what I did today because I just want, honestly, that was like a little bit of a, that was kind of like, you know how people do banky bait on me? But I was trying to, that was me baiting all the people that I want to mute and block. So it was really fun, actually. There's only a couple.
I'm sure it served its purpose. It's well done.
Oh, it did. Yeah. It did. It helped. Ed, thanks for super chat. Background light has an ethereal effect today. Cool. Obviously portends an Arizona blowout for the pack.
This is clearly what it portends. Thank you, Ed.
Yeah, no, it's got to be a carry the G shower, somebody said. So there you go. But if you carry the G shower after we beat the Bears, I'm never sending you any carry the G.
Exactly. I'm not wasting the carry the G. Although I am having a carry the G at the moment.
Also, you want to talk about hate watching? Man, the only team I ever really watch that's not the Packers is the freaking Chicago Bears. And God, did they get lucky in that game? Like they are.
But I love how after the game, it's like, oh, Ben Johnson, the genius. Ben Johnson, exactly what they need. Yes, Ben Johnson made Jaden Daniels fumble. You've cracked the code. Well done.
If you think Ben Johnson was good after watching that game, I've got some bridge passes to sell you. I got some Brooklyn bridge passes to sell you. Amazing. Jerry Mannion, Pack seem to lack killer instinct. Defense plays too soft in the second half, and teams throw underneath and have long drives that keep them in the game.
Well, we talked a little bit about this during the defensive portion of the program. I don't think they lack a killer instinct. If you saw how many times Halfley sent heavy pressure and legit they were hitting Joe Flacco as he's releasing the ball. At some points, you've got to give the opponent some credit, because not only is Flacco delivering the ball while getting hit, but then there were three catches, two by Ja'Marr Chase, who's arguably second best wide receiver in the game, and T. Higgins made it an amazing catch as well, where they got some really good players, and the Packers did some really good stuff on defense there. They were just beat by superstar players at the respective positions, and that happens, you know. But with that said, there's certainly a case to be made for wanting to see a little bit of that kind of heavy pressure, try to dictate stuff a little earlier. You know, I think it took a while for Halfley to get to it. Maybe he should have gotten to it a little earlier and disrupted things, but it's hard for me to say they don't have a killer instinct. You know, they just need a turnover. They need a fucking turnover in the worst way. Because if they do that, then the Packers offense has another opportunity to put up another touchdown, and then it's a rout, right? And then we're sitting there on Monday and everyone's talking about, oh, the Packers killed them. When it's not that materially different of a game other than the Packers were able to create a turnover to give the offense another opportunity. That's what needs to happen.
Yeah. William Collins, why does it seem like when other teams get close wins, they are still a great team like KC, but when the Packers do it, they are worse than the 0-16 Lions? Can't wait to prove the media wrong. Go, Pack, go.
Thank you, William. Now, some of that is, you know, the result of playing the Bengals, right? If they play one of the, quote, front runners, one of the teams with the better records in the league, like if they beat the Eagles or the Buccaneers, then, yeah, people are talking about the Packers being one of the best.
Well, that's why the first two games you saw a lot of people getting down on their knees about the Packers.
So, you know, they'll have those opportunities. They're going to play. I mean, hell, the Steelers game coming up in 2 weeks is shaping up to be a barn burner. You know, the Steelers look really good. So, you know, beat up on the Bengals, you're probably not going to get a ton of flowers. But those moments will come. They'll have their opportunities.
Porkmaster, root is the wrong word. Do we favor Detroit or TB or Tampa Bay in their matchup? I'm cheering for Tampa Bay because F Detroit, but do I have it right?
You 1,000,000,000% have it right. I mean, what the fuck is Brian Branch doing after that game against the Chiefs? What the fuck was that? I mean, that was some of the most Bush League bullshit I have ever seen on an NFL field. And this is a kid who's been fined multiple times and suspended for bullshit. Not look no further than last year in Lambeau. Like, he's so talented. I don't understand. Maybe it's because that drives him and that's what makes him the player he is, and I understand that to a point, but after the game to punch a dude in the head, the helmet, whatever, who are you? And then Dan Campbell gets up there afterwards and is like, this is not who we are. Really? It's not who you are, really? Kirby Joseph, Ryan Branch, really? It's not who you are, man. Fuck the Lions. Yeah, we're definitely cheering for Tampa Bay, and look, Tampa Bay looks good. I don't want Tampa Bay to be, like, you know, on top of the conference, of course.
Here's the thing. Like, if Matt LaFleur and or, like, Brian, let's say. I don't think Brian would do this. But, like, let's say Matt LaFleur was the kind of coach, kind of like, do you think there's anything to, if Matt LaFleur actually was like, this is about Micah Parsons. If he was like this, if he got up the podium, he's like, this is effing bullshit. This is blah, blah, blah. Mike is getting held and we're sending a letter and blah, blah, blah. I'm going to get fined. I don't give a shit. Fuck Goodell. Blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Do you think they might call holding?
They might. I mean, I feel like Corey, I feel can like I be honest with you? Can I be honest with you? Completely 100% honest with you.
I don't know.
We did the bit, and Tyler cut up the thing to the Benny Hill theme of him getting cut up. I really wanted to kind of send that to everybody I knew, the Packers or the NFL, whatever, and say, look at this bullshit, whatever. But, like, that's not really going to work, right? But when I asked Matt the question I did on Monday, my hope was that we would have just the slightest little kind of quote that we could then social for Cheesehead TV and blow up or whatever. But like you said, for obvious reasons, way too diplomatic. But getting it in the NFL ecosphere, it's one thing for it to be batted around the Packers blogosphere, right? The Packers beat, whatever. That's one thing. But if it does get into, they're talking about it on the national shows, that's where it starts to get the heat.
But the only way
that
to talk
says,
about
like,
it is,
oh, maybe it will happen.
You've got to do
exactly.
A thing. Somebody's got
to,
like, do something out of the ordinary. You know what I mean? Like,
correct.
And that's the thing. Like, this would be out of the ordinary where it's like, oh, I'm fucking sick of this shit. Damn it. And, like, you saw LaFleur do that and people would be like, wait. Right. And then every talk show would be talking about it. And then I guarantee you, he would get a $100,000 fine. But I guarantee you we would get the holding call in the first place.
There would be a holding call at some point because they'd be, A, looking for it, and B, cognizant of it. And if it didn't, oh, my God, the next week would be insane.
Well, and if I was Brian or if I was Ed, I would just be like, we'll pay the fine. It's fine. We need somebody to bitch about this. This is annoying.
Exactly.
This is egregious. Ed, thanks for Super Chat. Kickers are people too. Well, somewhat. Are they, though?
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Are they? Like, really? Are you sure about that? You sure about that? You sure about that? That's a meme.
Amazing.
Eric Anderson, how many people did Corey tell off at the meet and greet for not being real Packer fans? I had to pull that one out there. You know, I'm a teddy bear when you meet me there, Eric. Maybe you should come to one of the meet and greets. Maybe you should
come on out,
maybe
Eric.
You should come to a meet and greet and find out. Bob Parteka, stadium view is greater than the bar, greater than Anduzzi's, greater than Burkle's, greater than D2. Okay. No.
I'm not sure I agree with your police work there, Norm.
I don't agree with anything that you're putting right here. Literally none of the things. So,
zero
one, stadium view is trash. Stadium view is trash. The bar is trash. So, they're both trash. I can't even put them on there. They're burned down to the ground. Bar, trash. Anduzzi's, trash. What? Also, the Anduzzi's family, you know what they just opened? They opened this trash called Northern Commons. What a piece of trash. Because here's the thing. This area over here, what we call Stadium District, I love it. It's amazing. I don't want to get rid of anything. But it's changing. It used to be this industrial wasteland. And you know what? It made sense to make an entire business off of 8 games a week. But now, or 8 games a year, excuse me. But now it doesn't really make any sense for that volume. It's like a volume play. And there's a lot of condos and there's a lot of other things. And you know what? We deserve better than those bars. D2, even though it's like wedged between the Resch and Comfort, the whatever the hell is, really, yeah, the literally there. One of the shittiest hotels. Also, like, this is this mentality of that industrial area where we deserve nicer things. That's why we got Legacy, and that's why we
Legacy
got other
Hotel
things coming
is dope.
Up.
Yeah.
So I would say in that neighborhood, I'm Legacy, I'm Badger State. Honestly, Badger State over any of the things you just put there. If I'm going to go to a shitty-ass trash volume bar in the Stadium District, I'm probably going to D2, and I'll tell you why. I know a bunch of bartenders that have worked there for 14 years, and they're really good people, and that place is, like, deep, and it's right out in the front. It's easy. Pretty good prices, and you're not going to have to deal with some if you're going to a shitty dive bar in the Stadium District. But if you're not, then there's lots of places you can go. Badger State Brewing is right there. If you just go right behind Stadium, you're going to have a better experience there, guaranteed. Better owners, better everything, just better all around. Also, Distillery is not a bad place to go there all the time. Distillery is pretty nice. I would take Distillery over any of those places. So I know Aaron's got an opinion about this.
I don't even have an opinion. I like them all. They all serve beer. It's fine for me.
I mean, that's true. They don't all serve Carry the G, though, so we got to change.
Now there is the crux of the issue.
That's my biggest problem.
That's the problem right now.
But also, like,
they start serving Carry the G, then yeah, we'll talk.
The bar is trash, okay? They literally have 7 locations, and they're just big warehouses.
Can I just tell you my favorite memory of the bar in Green Bay is meeting Jeff Blum, who used to be the head of communications/PR for the Packers when Cheesehead TV was first starting. We had a beer there. We met at the bar, and he told me, why should I give Cheesehead TV a credential and have a story at Cheesehead TV when I've already got stories at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and the Green Bay Press Gazette? And at that moment, I knew that Jeff Blum did not understand the internet at all.
Well, to be fair, I talked to Jeff Blum after many years after that fact, and pretty much it was more Ted than Jeff. So
truly,
Jeff had his marching orders. That was just how he chose to
impart them,
impart his marching orders.
But also he didn't understand the internet, but
you're 100% right. I think he still does either. Ralph Renucci, Packers should have used ChatGPT for oblique injuries. They should have been more cautious with that injury and position. Thanks for super chat,
man. What? Wait, what? I'm so confused. All the medical professionals, the player himself, all deem Zach Tom ready to go. And he went out there and yes, he was in pain, but that's all the people who know everything there is to know about his particular injury. I'm really confused when people say these things. Like, you shouldn't have been playing. Like, he finished the game, and he wanted to play. That's what you want from the dude you just handed $1 billion to be your right tackle. Yes, he's playing banged up. Everyone in the NFL is hurt. Everyone's banged up to one extent or another. Now, his extent is very severe. But he wants to be out there. He wants to play for his team, for his brothers in arms. And he went out there and he battled and he did a really good job. Like, I don't understand this reaction. Well, he shouldn't be out there. Well, you've got to help protect him. Like, no, he wants to play. He's paid to play. Players want to play. That is a good thing. Especially when it's one of your best players. Sorry, I don't really mean to get after you, Ralph, but it's like I keep seeing this, and it's just driving me insane.
I don't know enough about injuries to weigh in.
None of us do. That's the point.
I know what I don't know. I do know. I don't have to live here 20 years to know that. If you're going to go to the bar or and doozies, you'd better off at Stadium View, okay? I'm just going to say, Bob, I get you. If you're going to pick one of those three, Stadium View is your choice. But Cheeto 0218, thanks for Super Chat. Over the last 6 years, Hockey League's crew has never been at the top of most flags thrown on average, but his crew is the only crew consistently in the top 20%. Bet the under, they throw two more holding flags.
God bless you. Let's hope.
From your All right, I don't have to. I don't have to sit. I can put my shirt on now. I don't have to.
Yes,
sit
finally.
Okay, we need to start the show at 5 right now. From now on, we have to start the show at 5. That's the only time the sun will be down. Although then it'll get dark, like everybody said. The show is ending, and I can finally put the sun on. So everybody can see Lambeau today.
They've been waiting. They've been sitting there going, "When is he going to show Lambeau?"
I like Lambeau.
Lambeau in all its glory.
Oh, look, I don't look like I have a halo over my head. Steve Anthony, speaking of angels, placed my dad's ashes in the grove behind the Lombardi statue at Lambeau this weekend, and Sunday was a beautiful day. Cheers all.
Oh, my God, Steve, that's amazing. That's incredible,
I wonder how many
dude.
People have done that. I'm going to say a lot.
I don't know, but that's an incredible
that's
gesture.
Crazy.
I'm going to think about that, Steve, next time I'm in town, man. I'm going to be there in November. That's incredible. I mean, what a special day. What a special moment. What a special kind of gesture.
It was a beautiful day. It was the last beautiful Packers game. No, the last beautiful home game, I feel like.
Right.
We're going to
we'll
be
see.
November we'll 10th. See.
It's going to be like fucking, you know, it's going to be like, you know, 70 80. Degrees or some shit.
Yeah.
It'd be ridiculous.
That would be amazing. Jerry WC, thanks for shouting out Brinson. If we have a hole in the middle with Wyatt's absence, who better to fill it than a 6'4", 360-pound Georgia Bulldog?
Let's go, Jerry. Oh, oh, oh. Come on now. Love it.
Bob Parteka, Matt LaFleur is 13th all-time in win percentage in the history of the NFL. That's 13th out of 536 people who have ever held the position, and folks want to fire him because we're not crushing every opponent. I just liked that, so I pulled that
one. Yeah, Bob, I feel you, brother. It's kind of
I pulled
ridiculous.
That one.
There's a lot of ridiculousness. Also, he's the, fastest to, 70 wins in his first whatever. Like, it's ridiculous. Sick of this. I'm just so sick of the conversation. It's like you have a really good coach. Like, I don't understand why people are upset about having a really good coach. I understand, like, you may not agree with every play call, but he's a really good coach.
DAG has joined the Carry the G Club. I think there's a Carry the G Club one, Aaron, if you can check it out. I might be a Carry the
Come
G
on,
Club
D-A-G?
I don't have that in front of me.
Let me take a look.
But while we're doing that, I'll get Amy Gooding having a champagne shower when we beat the Bears and the Cardinals and the Panthers and Steelers. Good to see you two. Thanks for coming out to the meetup. Thanks for the super chat. Let's not do that.
DAG says, go Pack Go, and also go Dodgers. Love you guys. You know, that was unnecessary.
That was rude and hilarious at the same time.
Exactly.
Shout out Della for reminding us. Jerry Mannion, been watching since 2015. 10 whole years, fellas.
Holy cow, yeah. Jerry. Thank you so much. Appreciate it, brother.
Feel old. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Bob Parteka, I saw you at Stadium View a year ago on Thursday night, Corey. LOL. Look, Bob, I didn't say I never go. You can't. The thing is about this town. There's no way if you live in this town and you like to hang out with 20
and you
to
30 deal with
year old
humans,
professionals,
right,
yeah, and you deal
right.
with humans, people hang out there. Like, what's crazy about Stadium View, what changed actually in the last 10 or 15 years, or maybe, is that locals actually go there. That was not the case.
That
as
was
much
never the case. Well, when they did the remodel,
yeah, they did the remodel.
When they had the second level and the whole thing. Like before that, you're right. It was game day almost strictly, and no one ever went there. But Bob, I'll only say this, Bob. I've had to drag Corey places throughout our life as friends, and just because he was at a place doesn't mean it was his idea. Doesn't mean he was like happily there. Trust me. Many occasions I've seen Corey Behnke in spots where he'd rather not be.
Oh yeah, I'll go anywhere. Carter Hawkins, Corey hates gentrification. No, Carter, I was actually arguing for gentrification because these places are gentrifying. They are the old volume discount places. And now we have the new condos and there's beautiful things going in up in a Schwabenon and it's very amazing and I'm all for it. In New York, I'm against gentrification, but in Green Bay, gentrification, bring it. Bring it. Rick Harris. I agree with Corey. Those volume bars are soulless. I mean, here's the thing, okay? Here's the thing, right? If you just go down Broadway, if you just go right now, Lombardi Avenue is right here. Take Lombardi Avenue all the way down to Broadway. I know you're going to normally turn on Ashland. I get it. I get what you're trying to do. But don't turn on Ashland.
Correct.
Go, keep going. You'll see them. You'll be like, oh, am I going into a manufacturing place? Yes, it's Georgia Pacific. Take a left. And then you will see.
You will drive
by the Riviera of dive bars in Green Bay, Wisconsin, because there was a law that said on the west side, you couldn't have a bar past Broadway. So what they did is they were like, all right, well, we're just going to put all the fucking bars on Broadway. There's like 23 bars from from Lombardi Avenue to about Dousman Street. There's about 23 bars. Old school,
phenomenal
at
great.
The tracks, stadium bar,
the Badgers
Richard
pub or something like that down there. Like,
Tons of bars.
Richard Craniums.
I'm just telling you right now.
I know.
Go to a dive bar. There are some Brewskis. Brewskis is a dive
Love
bar.
Love Brewskis. Hell yes.
Ton
Hell yes.
Of divey ass bars. If you really want the Green Bay dive bar experience, that's what you need to do. Don't be just doing the easy shit and push the easy button and go into, you know, all the normal stadium district bars. There are a ton of dive bars in Green Bay that are, and they're going away. Merrick's is not on Broadway, or is that? But Simonette's,
but great.
Like, there's some incredible bars in this town.
Oh, I want to give out. Wait, you talk about. Free shout out to Lenny's Tap downtown.
Lenny's Holy Tap? Cow. Lenny's Tap on Broadway?
I've never, ever been to Lenny's Tap.
That's crazy.
Prior to, I watched the Brewers clinch or beat the Cubs in that bar because I was meeting Matty Day, but then Matty couldn't make it till later, so I met him later. But then, so I just went and watched by myself at Lenny's Tap. That bar is fucking awesome. Oh my God. If you're in Green Bay and you want a true
Lenny's
bar
Tap
experience. Lenny's Tap is the shit. My God.
I literally know love three that humans place. That have lived here their entire life, and that's literally their favorite bar to go to.
I love that bar. I'm never not going to that bar at least once every time I'm in town.
What's funny is that bar is like across the street from LiveX. It's very dangerous.
I know. It's phenomenal. I love
Chris KG19. Let's go Mets, but more importantly, go Pecco.
Feels a little incongruous, but sure, Chris. Yeah. Let's go Mets for my daughters. There you go. They're big Mets fans. I'll go with that.
That's all we got.
We're good.
I got to go do Lombardi Neighborhood Association. So
you're very important. I'm very busy too. I have to get ready, get the newsletter ready. So let's give a shout out to our Patreon members. You are the lifeblood of everything we do here at Cheesehead TV. We greatly appreciate you. As well as the Care of the G Club members here on YouTube. Shout out to everyone who joins us for Watch Party each and every week. Don't forget, happy hour this week is tomorrow night. That's right, no Tuesday this week. It's tomorrow night. The information is on your respective pages. Hope to see you there. Corey, you got anything else before we head out into the evening?
Let's get a win this weekend.
That's what I'm talking about. That'll do it for this episode of Packer Transplants. We'd like to thank everyone who makes Cheesehead TV part of their daily Packers routine. We are and will always be devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide.
I think it's a fluid situation, and we're I know you guys love it, especially Nagler. I can see you smirking at me right there. We're going to take it one day at a time. And just it's going to be fluid, though. That's all I can tell you.